you've tuned in to a couple of Dusty Muffins. I'm the one and only Penny Legate, and with me,
the one and only, thank God, Julie Blacklow. Penny and I do our best and mostly succeed in trying to stay away from the serious subjects plaguing the world today, but today we're going to get a little bit serious.
A Couple of Dusty Muffins is sponsored by the Sabie Corporation, with a decade's history of promoting medical and life sciences.
Penny and I have more than 100 years combined in the business of news. And I have one question for our esteemed guest today, the amazing, admired, and brilliant Mike James, who was a local anchorman for many, many years, incredibly intelligent, wise, and I never saw him lose his temper about anything, but maybe he will today. So here's my question. What the hell has happened to journalism today? Mike, please.
We need like 3 hours for that.
Yeah.
it really depends on where you look. The problem is it's shrinking everywhere. I'll just give you a couple of stats. At the peak of our time at King Broadcasting, we had a 48 share, which means, if you know about that kind of measurement, almost half the TV sets turned on were tuned to King 5 News. A few years ago, when Lori Matsukawa retired, the share was 3%.
Wow.
3%.
Wow. So what is it now?
It's 3% now.
Oh, God. 3%
is as high as they get. And across the country now, towns are losing their newspapers everywhere. The Washington Post is near bankruptcy, even with Bezos as its backer. So you have a shrinking of access. Of course, there's all kinds of junk online on the internet. But that's one of the issues we've got here.
Even what's on TV, whether it's on cable news or regular stations, it's all Trump all the time. I don't understand this focus and obsession. Is it just because it's like watching a train wreck?
No, it's because Trump is a one-off. He has found a way to use even the most negative information about him as a trumpet call, and it gets coverage, coverage, coverage. I say the same thing all the time. It's Trump, Trump, Trump. But look at the things he's done, and then ask yourself, does this deserve coverage? He's got 91 indictments against him in one way or the other. That deserves coverage. Now, the other side of this is, you know, the negative stuff that you're seeing about Biden. Look what happened with the special counsel put out a report on his keeping classified information. But he went on at some length about this guy has memory issues, he forgets things. And that became a big item in the news as well.
Was that fair?
No, it was way more than, it was gratuitous. It was way more than that a special counsel should have put in that report. But nonetheless, that got you headlines. And so what you're looking at, there's a couple of statistics that go on with this. You're looking at two of the oldest guys running for president we have ever had. One is 81, the other one is 77. And one of them would be 86 when he finished his term, if he's reelected. The other one would be in his early 80s. We've never seen this before. And then you look at some statistics out there, 65% of Americans polled say they're just exhausted and fed up when they have to talk about politics. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 70% don't want either one of these guys. And so they're trying to confront a choice they do not want. It's a time we've not seen before.
Okay. We know they're both older men. We both know they're similar in age. So why don't we just drop that? Because this is what we have. Right? This is what we have in this country. I'm talking about the media coverage of like just feasting on that report from the special counsel, for example. And why don't the Dems, Julie and I have talked about this over and over. First of all, number one, why are the Dems so bad at messaging anything that they do that's good or that Biden does that's good? And why aren't they standing on the steps of the Capitol making statements of their own about, let's go back to what happened on January 6th, et cetera, et cetera. You know, do you remember that he called all the World War II veterans in the cemetery losers and suckers? I mean, honestly, if you want to talk about regurgitating crap all the time, then why aren't they pounding this into the American public's head so they can remember some of the stuff that Trump did?
Yeah, it's a good question. Why? Why? I think if I were king and I had the ability to make everybody read a book, I would have them all read Liz Cheney's book, Oath and Honor.
Yeah.
Because page after page after page after page tells you about the criminal and unacceptable conduct of our last president.
But we know this, Mike. We know this. My question, as it relates to the media coverage of this issue, is how responsible are the media for the prominence of Trump? I agree. 91 indictments, it happens to be a news story. And the other thing is, Mike, people aren't reading anymore. So I get Liz Cheney's book is vitally important. But don't we already know what she's talking about? I don't know. It's a visual world. It's a social media world. I don't know. What could the media do to right itself?
People aren't reading the way they used to read before. I mean, I was in an argumentative conversation with inside my own family the other day about what we read and what information we take in, whether it's truthful or not. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge mm-hmm. issue across the country.
Right.
If you want to talk in a much, much broader sense, this all goes back to our educational system. What does it train people for? What does it tell them to do? Does it teach them how to be discerning in the information they're taking in and how to trust sources and how you go about that? Are there classes like that in middle school, high school, whatever, to train people? You know, Ansel Payne, both of you know Ansel Payne used to be the president of King Broadcasting. He said the essential foundation of this system, the essential foundation of a democracy, is an informed citizenry.
Yes.
We can live in an age where you can disinform yourself hourly, daily, weekly, you know, mm-hmm. via the internet and social media and whatnot.
That's what's going on. Most people get their news from social media and television. That's also a fact, which deals with the fact that people aren't reading anymore. They're just being told. I don't know. I'm just so troubled. You say, Penny, why aren't these Democrats doing better at messaging? Why isn't the media going after the Democrats demanding answers? Where is their message and why it's not being amplified more? I don't know.
But I would say, Julie, it depends on where you go. If you want to find out useful information, it's there if you know where to look and you know who to trust. Because I'll just give you the New York Times, the Washington Post. They have covered, yes, they have covered what the special prosecutor said about Biden's memory. They've gone out and done reporting about how people deal with Biden in the private meetings about issues that are before the country. And they find him sharp and attentive and on the ball. And that's been reported. But did you read that?
No.
The Washington Post? No. So that's where it comes back to the citizenry has to be an informed citizenry, careful about finding things they trust and respecting the truth.
Critical thinking.
We're all exhausted.
It's a societal problem as well as a media problem, is what I would mm-hmm. argue.
I agree. We're talking with former anchorman and continuing on matters of the media, Mike James, whom some of our listeners will recognize from
that voice.
The voice. I don't know what we do about this. I will say that a couple of years ago, I offered to teach a class for free in the Seattle Public Schools on how to discern what you're reading, how to tell if something's true, how to search for it, how to do a deep dive on the veracity of certain claims. I was turned down flat.
I don't think people want to spend that kind of time, honestly. I don't think the general citizenry doesn't really want to do deep dives unless they're a journalist writing a story or a historian or some type of scholar. I'd be hard-pressed to find anybody I know who'd be willing to do a deep dive to check facts and figures and, you know, go beyond the headlines.
We're on the verge of losing our democracy and we're too exhausted to give a shit about trying to save it. I guess that's true. I'm exhausted from it all.
What do you think, Mike? Do you think we're on the edge of losing our democracy?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm more pessimistic, you guys, than I have been in my long lifetime. And it's partly because of what the thing that you both mentioned, the social internet now, because we have access to more information than any people in history. You know, no challenge to that. The things you can do with just your cell phone in terms of finding information would have taken you hours, phone calls, a trip to the library previously.
Right.
But we have access at the same moment to all kinds of disinformation as well. And what you're losing is a common thread. Somebody talked about this the other day, you know, left and right, or Republicans and Democrats, used to talk about different views about the same set of facts.
Right, right.
Different interpretations of the same set of facts. Now you have a multitude of facts, so-called. fact.
In quotes.
An actual fact.
Facts in
right.
quotes.
Right. Opinion has become fact in some circles.
How we wander through this is what you were just talking about, though. It's something I've tried to preach for a long time. We need education in the schools, in our civic education. Civics needs to come back in a big way in our educational system. And one of them will be what you talked about, is the discernment of truth from garbage.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How do you tell? I see things on Facebook frequently. I'm sure both of you do, too, where someone has reposted a story and it's not true. They don't bother. And these are smart people. These are educated people who I've had to call out and say, you need to take that down because that's not true. Completely fabricated, not an accurate story, but they don't take the time to research it.
Well, here's another fact. When you're talking about education, if we could go back to that, is this sort of foundation of democracy and critical thinking and education. I've just pulled this up. I know it was a high statistic, but the percentage of high, we talk about people, teaching classes about how to discern fact from fiction, but 19% of high school graduates in our country cannot read.
Wow.
What?
19%.
Can't read?
That's right. In our country.
Where did that come from?
It's from the top U.S. literacy rate statistics online. And it says, what percentage of people never read a book after high school? 50% of U.S. adults are unable to read an eighth grade level book. 33% of high school graduates never read a book after high school.
I think there's a high percentage of college graduates also, where I saw this article, that never read a book again. It's like over 50%, which I find, boy,
So therein maybe is the foundation of a lot of these problems, the people not reading, not having their brain stimulated to think critically. It reminds me of pre-World War II Germany and how people just got brainwashed to follow a madman and the horrible outcome of their ignorance.
Yeah. You know, Rachel Maddow's book Prequel is all about that phenomenon and how seeds of it were on the U.S. at the same time.
Yeah.
In the 30s. I've got to say that we talk about what the media does and does not, but I know one thing that happened in television when we dropped from a 48 share to a 3% share. It's all about grabbing the eyeballs that you can.
Right.
And so you don't have coverage of legislative politics. You don't have coverage of City Hall or the county courthouse like you used to have. You don't have it in the newspaper now. You don't have it in the one local newspaper that exists. So you have to find it in all kinds of online podcasts and whatnot. And who on earth in their day has much time for that?
No one.
We're at a crisis point going forward, I think, in many ways, about the basic elements that make a democracy functional. And we need to address that. It's not just the newspapers. It's not just the Trump or a Biden. It's on all of us to save the system that we depend on to have a really functioning democracy.
How do we do that?
Well, there's the question.
We vote.
Yes, number one, yes.
We vote, but it goes back, Penny, as we've been discussing, it goes back to what you learn in those school years. You look in states like Florida and other places around the country, we're beginning to limit what people can learn in school.
Yeah.
We're banning certain books.
That's right.
People don't want to hear about, certain things in our past that are embarrassing. But if you don't know your past, it's pretty damned hard to really pull your future together in a consistent way.
Oh, God, what are we going to do?
You're here.
What are we going to do?
Does anybody have a joke they can tell?
It does seem a bit grim. I'm trying to smile through it. But Mike, listen, you were in the business for what, 50 years?
I don't want to know.
Well, that's true.
It was 40 plus anyway.
40 plus, me too, Penny too. So what can we do? What can we three do?
So, one thing, I'll just put it in a short phrase, you have to stay in the fight. One of the conversations you have with people now, in the middle and left center, whatnot, is where will you go if Trump is to win re-election? What country will you go to live in?
Oh, I've got a plan already.
I say no. You've got to stay in the fight.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could take 4 more years. I honestly don't know, Mike. When we think about our population and how divided we are, how is it that a huge percentage, a percentage that's big enough in the polls to show that a man like Donald Trump is leading, what is wrong with the people who think that he's a decent candidate? Somehow running for office and even kind of finagling his way, and it still stuns me that he was elected in the first place. So what do we do with the populace that really believes that he thinks he's a decent leader?
You can't do anything with them, but it's the independents, I think, that will decide this election.
Well, then we need to be talking more about Biden being number 14 in the country in terms of the great residents.
He was just rated, and Trump was, of course, the worst.
He was dead last. Yeah.
He was dead last, where he belongs.
How do we convince people that a criminal, a liar, a person who thought that COVID was a hoax, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? I mean, you just think one thing's going to tank him, Stormy Daniels, or making fun of somebody who's disabled, blah, blah. I mean, he just gains more followers.
Yeah.
The darker he gets, the more followers he seems to garner.
There was I can't remember the name of the book now, but it was a marvelous book because there was a journalist who had lived with, talked with folks who are with Trump for almost 18 months, and he wrote a book. And I remember a couple of things that people said about their attraction to Trump. He says things that we say on the back porch, what we talk about on the back porch.
Right.
The point was he represents and seems to be the embodiment of their resentments.
Right.
Their own lives and the way things are going in a way we've not seen before. So it's not a conversation about ideas. It's not a conversation about what you were just talking about, Penny, the long list of criminal or near criminal acts by that ex-president. It's this emotional connection that is beyond anything I think we've seen in a long time.
You know, he loathes them, I think, at some level, but appreciates their support. They're disenfranchised. They feel, you know, not invited to the party.
Exactly right. And that's when he says, I will be your revenge.
Right.
I will be your retribution.
Right.
And they can't see that he doesn't give a shit about them.
No.
They care about coal miners or farmers or laborers.
Union members or, yeah, no, he doesn't care.
Here's the other thing in play, though, I think in this election to a big degree. You know, there are a lot of people who buy the things that we've been talking about. I can't understand how a Trump can even be as attractive as he is. But will they vote? And there's not the same enthusiasm now, if you look at the polling, to turn out and vote for Biden as the other side has to turn out and vote for Trump. In other words, there may be people who just don't bother. And that's the people you've got to work on for November is the people who don't bother. You've got to tell them this is vital. You know, we don't always have the best choice on the planet. We've got two older guys here. We've got the two oldest candidates we've ever had for the presidency. But it means something. And your vote means something.
Yeah.
That's the message we've got to get out over these next months.
So that's the good news, Mike James. You know, that's the good news.
We are empowered with our vote. It'd be nice to get rid of the Electoral College so each vote mattered equally. You know,
That's a whole other subject, what the founders gave us with the Electoral College and the ability for states to gerrymander who gets the vote.
Thank you, Tom and Ben and George. And it's the Constitution that you know who wants to completely overturn. But I digress a little. So, Mike, what's the good advice you leave us with today?
We need hope.
We need hope.
Well, the good advice is what we were just talking about. The good advice is simply this. Inform yourself. You will live in a country that gives you the ability, A, to inform yourself, and B, to cast a vote that can make a difference. Remember that. And don't forget it, and make sure you're there when it counts.
Mike James, thank you as always. I'm sure we'll be talking again between now and November.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, let's do it.
Thank you, Mike James.
Bye, you guys.
A Couple of Dusty Muffins is very grateful to the Sabie Corporation, which sponsors us and allows us to keep on talking about all kinds of interesting things.
You know, we have the perfect way to include you in our show. Just write to us in an email, coupleofdustymuffins@gmail.com. That's C-O-U-P-L-A, dustymuffins@gmail.com. I'm Production Director Clem Daniels. Join us again for another episode of A Couple of Dusty Muffins. Thanks for listening.